message in this little mini series that I've entitled The Kaleidoscope of Prayer. Now, just a reminder that as a kid, we had these little toys called the kaleidoscope, and you would look through it and you would see all different colors, not just blue, but you would see all kinds of different colors, just like what you see on the screen here. And you could turn it and it would change just so many different. It was just a fascinating. This was before cell phones and PS5s and Xbox Ones and all that. It was absolutely phenomenal. And I thought about prayer being like this. Prayer has so many different shades, so many different colors, and so to speak, I'm not talking about literally, but it just has more than just, oh God, help me prayers, or oh God, just bless me prayers. And by the way, nothing wrong with oh God, help me prayers, and nothing wrong with oh God, bless me prayers. But there, prayer is something that we should grow into. Our prayer life should be getting deeper and stronger as we get closer to heaven. And even when we get to heaven, we're going to continue to grow in our prayer life. Pastor T.O. Byrd, who was my, father in the Lord, and he's going home to be with the Lord. He preached a sermon. I have it on cassette tape called Prayer is Where the Action Is, and how true that it is. And the next time that I preach, this is every other Wednesday night, if we're on schedule, if things go on schedule, but the next time, my last message will be the next time, but I'm going to end the series by preaching this message, How to Never Fall Asleep Praying Again. So I want you to be looking forward to that, because really that's what I want your prayer life to be, to never fall asleep, because sometimes you start praying and before you know it, you've nodded off maybe. It depends on what time you pray or what you've gone through that day. But I'm going to finish the series the next time on how to never fall asleep praying again. But tonight, I'm going to invite you into my personal prayer closet. And I'm not doing this in pride. I do not like to make myself the object of the message or the object of all my examples, because I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody. Amen. I'm sorry about that, Brother Blue. I might have got that wrong. But I'm not coming to you in pride, but in humility. I'm not coming here to hone in on me, but to highlight the Lord. Not to tell you exactly how to pray like me, but to inspire you to pray in your own way in the prayer closet. But I want you to know this is how I personally pray when I have contact time of prayer. Now remember, contact time of prayer means a set time, set day, set moment with God. Yes, I'm praying all the time. I pray at work. I pray here. Prayed it over here, sitting down a few minutes ago. I pray even on the keyboard. I'm a man of prayer, and I pray without ceasing. I do believe that. I'm praying when my head hits the pillow and before I fall asleep. When I wake up, I'm already starting to pray. I don't say that to be holy. I'm just saying I know what it is to pray at all times. However, if we're not careful, we're going to miss something, and that is definite times that we have set aside, contact times, 30 minutes, an hour, 15 minutes, different days, different times. We're going to miss a beautiful time with God to grow and to pray in different ways. So here's how, when I have contact time of prayer, I'm going to give you how I pray. But let me read the scripture that actually gives you the foundation for my personal prayer time. It is, of course, the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. If you love the Lord, say amen. After this manner, therefore pray you. So there you go. Right there. This is the way Jesus said, pray like this. Now, he's the one that's going to answer the prayer. And he's telling you, hey, this is the way you're praying. Now, he didn't say, as for these words, pray this way. He didn't say for us to repeat the words every single time. By the way, you should repeat the words. But notice he said manner, or way, or style, or in the spirit of, or in the form of. So after this manner, pray ye. Now, this really changed my life several years ago, because I prayed differently. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, your kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And everybody said amen. My prayer time with God. Father, I ask that you would anoint your servant to speak tonight. Lord, may I inspire, may you inspire through this message tonight. Not me, but may you inspire through this message tonight for us to spend more time, quantity time, quality time with the one who can change all of time. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. So here is how I pray. Number one, I focus on God Himself. Focus on God Himself. If you'll go back to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, we just read it. This is the first part of the prayer. After this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The first part of that prayer is not about my headaches, my heartbreaks, my toothaches, my back breaks, or any other breaks I need in life. The first part of the prayer is not about my past due light bill that I can't seem to get the money to pay. By the way, my light bills are current. Thank you, Jesus. But my first part of my prayer is not about the Joe Biden administration and how bad the Democrats are, or how bad Trump is and how bad the Republicans are, or politics. First part of my prayer is not about even my mother that needs a touch from the Lord, or my family that needs to be saved, or my brother or something, or my coworker. The first part of my prayer is simply this, focusing upon God Himself. And the first part of my prayer is not telling God how bad I've been and how many sins I've committed and how, Lord, I need your forgiveness. We are not to start our prayer focusing on asking God for forgiveness. The forgiveness comes later. You'll see. But you need to start it, because if I start my prayer on you, or if I start my prayer on Joe Biden, or if I start my prayer on Donald Trump or Ricky Nelms, my prayer is not going to get very far, and I might just fall asleep. But when you focus your prayer, when you come before God, you need to say, God, I praise you for who you are. God loves to hear us praise Him. He inhabits. This is where praise comes in. This is where praise, and listen, it'll do good to get a list of the attributes of God. Somebody say attributes of God. There are attributes that mean God is love. God is holy, holy, holy. God is unchanging or immutable. God is powerful and mighty. And so I begin my prayer time by saying, oh God, I come before you. You are an awesome God, an amazing God. You rule, you reign. Man, I tell you, that'll get your spirit going. Amen. And when you start thinking about how, and before you've even asked God about your light bill past due, you've already established that God is sovereign and a way maker and a miracle worker and a chain breaker. And brother, you've already got the victory before you start getting down there to asking Him for things. And that's the way it ought to be. Amen. Too many people begin their prayers on a sad note, like the old fellas in Hee Haw, gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's not how you need to begin your prayer. You need to enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. He's going to take care of it. He works the midnight shift. He doesn't sleep nor slumber. And begin your prayer time by focusing upon God Himself. I have in my prayer journal the names of the Father and the names of the Son and the names of the Holy Spirit. I praise the Trinity. Do you praise the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. He is God. We are to worship the Holy Spirit. He's not half a God or a third God. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Son is God. God the Father is God. We are Trinities, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, equal in majesty, glory, and beauty, and all deserving of worship collectively, individually. I want you to know, you ought to, I've got those lists of the names done by Elmer Towns. Who are we talking about? Elmer Towns. And so when my prayers are a little stagnant, I'll just read those names of the Father, names of the Son, the Holy One, the Just One, the baby Jesus, Eternal Father, the Mighty Father, the Eternal Spirit, the Spirit of Wisdom, Spirit of Might, Spirit of Counsel, the Spirit of... I mean, when you just start praying those names and praising those names, you are already on victory territory. Amen. So what can Joe Biden do once you've talked to a God like that? Amen. What can Donald Trump do if you talk to a God like that? Amen. All righty. I try to say both sides just in case somebody's watching here and tuned me out because I said one and didn't say the other. Come on now. Amen. Now, go to Psalms 104. I just quoted it. But as I begin to focus upon God, I transition my focus to thanksgiving because I'm still focusing upon God. But notice the scripture says, what? Enter. Somebody say the word enter. His gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. So my prayer time begins with, God, you are awesome God. You're mighty God. I thank you for who you are. Then I transition and I begin to thank him for what he's done. And under what he's done, I divide it in two categories. I begin to thank him, number one, for spiritual blessings. And then number two, I'll thank him for material blessings. Let me break that down a little further. I've praised God for his sovereignty. I've praised God for his person. I've praised God for the Trinity. But now I'm thanking God for spiritual things. Now, please understand, these are the things that moth cannot eat, thieves cannot steal, or rust cannot corrupt. I thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus. I thank you, God, for your presence. I thank you, God, that you've written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you, God, for a hill far away called Calvary. I thank you, God, for prayer itself. I'm thankful that I have a God to pray to. A lot of people serve gods that they don't allow them to pray to them in times of need. Come on now. I thank you, God, for the Word of God. I thank you for the promises of God. I thank you for saving me, electing me, choosing me from the foundation of the world. Thank you, God. And Lord, if, God forbid, if I die today or if I have a terrible thing to happen, praise God that nothing can take away my salvation. Nothing can take away my name in the Lamb's Book of Life unless I walk away from it. But nothing. Absolutely. Lord, thank you for the hope of heaven itself, a mansion in glory. Thank him for spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. During this time, I thank him for the spiritual blessing of salvation. I remind him of how he saved me and I wasn't worthy. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous life. I thank him for sanctification. God, if you hadn't sanctified me, I'd be a mess. But thank you for sanctifying me. I thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit. I thank him for the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, diverse kinds of faith, the working of miracles, blah, 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 blah. Go on down the line. I thank you for the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. Lord, thank you for love, joy, peace, grace, mercy, and peace. Thank you for spiritual blessings. Then I transition into material blessings. Oh, God, thank you that I woke up this morning. Thank you that I got shoes on my feet, clothes in my closet. Thank you for this house that you have just blessed me with. And by the way, when I was renting for 5 years over on Lamb Road, I praised God for the house I was renting. It was a blessing. Shiloh Pentecost Honest Church blessed me because they gave me a discount. They gave me a great discount because the same equal for equal property would have been about 25% more a month. And I needed that. I needed that to rebuild. I needed that to get my ministry and life back together. Thank you, Lord, now it wasn't the prettiest house we've lived in. It didn't have the carpet was from 1948, I believe. It's got green stuff on the wall from 3 paint coats ago. I'm not talking about it's a dump, but it certainly wasn't the prettiest house or the best house we've ever lived in. And I've always prided myself in having a nice, well-kept home. But I'll tell you what, we made the best of it that we could. And I thank God for the house that I lived in because I think some people in the world don't even have a house. Some people live under the stars at night. And I thanked him also. Listen to this. I thanked him for the house he was going to give me. Praise God. I thanked him for it. Hallelujah. And so I thank him for a house. I thank him for electricity. I'm thankful I have air conditioning in the summer and heat in the winter. I'm thankful that I got a car. Praise God, I got the title of the Lincoln Town Car. I own that car. Praise God. I'm glad that I got a nice car to drive around in. Now my wife's got a nice car, and her previous car, she drove 15 years, 340,000 miles, and no major mechanical malfunctions. I'll tell you, when you love God and when you seek His face, He loves His children and He loves to bless His children. And I thank Him for those material blessings. Amen. This is my personal prayer time. Every time I pray, this is exactly the things I say. I thank Him for eyesight. I thank Him for contact lenses to correct my eyesight. I'm so glad I don't have to wear glasses. My goodness. Them things just, they are aggravating. That's the best way. Now, some people love them. Some people don't. I thank Him for hearing. I thank Him for my heart, my lungs, my spleen. Have you ever thanked Him for your spleen? Have you ever thanked Him for your two kidneys? Have you ever thanked Him for your stomach, you know, that you've got one? Amen. Have you ever thanked Him for your lungs? Have you ever thanked Him for your blood vessels pumping blood? And have you ever thanked Him for your brain that you can think and you can did you know there's water in your eyes that if your eyes were to dry out, it'd be very hard on your eyes to see? And thankful for moisture in your eyes. And take out the anatomy book and point to any part of the physical anatomical body. And if it's working and it's not giving you a problem, I'm thankful I don't have bulging disc. I'm thankful for a good back. I'm thankful that I can work 9 hours at Best Buy, have 10,000 steps on my Fitbit. Praise God. I thank Him for my material. There may come a day when I may not be able to walk as good. There may come a day when some accident may happen. There may come a time when I may not have my eyesight like William Booth. I don't believe that'll happen. I believe I'm going to have life and life more abundantly, but it doesn't matter. I just want to thank Him for what I got. Can we just thank Him for what He's given us? Come on. I'm thankful for giving me grace. So, the first 15 minutes of my prayer time has been focused on God, for who He is and what He's done for me spiritually and what He's done for me materially. And of course, in my thanksgiving, I thank Him for protecting my family, and I thank Him for other things as well. Answered prayer. I could go on and on. Part two, go to asking and petitioning God. So number one, focusing on God. Number two, now we move into asking. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. After we have said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven." Matthew 6, 11. Read that with me out loud. Those two words, give us. So a lot of people start their prayer with give us or forgive us. But you don't need to start your prayer by asking God for something. You know, God wants to give us. And so I began to ask Him for things for me personally and for others. And I'm going to get to others in just a moment. But my first part of this is called asking and petitioning. The first thing I ask Him to give me, when it says give us what? This day our what? The first thing I ask for is Himself. I ask God, my first petition is, Lord, before I ask for anything materially, money in the bank, food, provisions, salvation for loved ones, Lord, I want You. You see, we need to be hungry for more of Jesus. And He is my daily bread. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So my very first petition in my contact prayer time is for more of Him. Yes, I need help financially. Yes, I need help physically. Yes, I need for others. But God, more than I need help on my job to do well. But God, number one thing I'm asking for is you. If your presence goes not with me, then let me, don't send me anywhere. I need you. I need your touch. You are my daily bread. I want to be spiritually on fire. I want to know more of God. I want to know more and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Psalm 63:8 says this, my soul followeth hard after thee. This is the pursuit of God. This is the time in my prayer where I'm going beyond the veil and saying, show me your glory. Let me have more of you, because if I have you, everything else take care of itself. Amen. When you fall in love with Jesus and you know Jesus is in love with you, you ain't worried about it if your boyfriend broke up with you. Come on now. You ain't worried about it if somebody defriended you off Facebook. You ain't worried about it if your coworker gets the sale and you don't get the commission. When you realize that he is all that you need and all that you could ever want, you understand he's got a big plan. Even it does surprise him when the boyfriend breaks up with you. There are some things that are blessings in disguises. I have learned to say this. I had a young lady came in Best Buy last night, and somebody had stole her phone. And she had allowed her driver's license to lapse, and I could not get her a new phone without having a valid driver's license. And she just looked like, she said, my mom's worried about me. I said, well, we can call your mom. She said, well, I'm going to call her somewhere else. But I looked at her, and I just wanted to help her. My heart went out to her. But I looked at her and said, young lady, I just want to tell you something. There's always a blessing in tough times. And there may be something going on here that there might have been a reason you lost your phone, a reason you lost your license. So don't be so discouraged. And I said, I'm speaking for Ricky. I point to the name Ricky. I said, I'm not speaking for Best Buy, because I don't want her to think, you know, Best Buy is telling her something. I want her to know that it's a child of God by the name of Ricky. Amen, somebody. God can turn the curse into a blessing. Sometimes what we think is a curse sometimes is a blessing. Or if it is, he turns the bad times into the good. It was good for me. That I might have been afflicted, the psalmist said. God will turn those things around for our good and for his glory. Can I get a witness out there? So my first desire is for God. Lord, I want to know you more. And I tell you what else I throw in right there. I pray for my wife. I say, Lord, I pray that my wife Darnell will know you greater. I pray that she will have a blessed day today. I pray that, God, we are one. We're in a marriage partnership, and I can't get so holy to God and can't get so close to God and leave her in the dust. Lord, I'm asking that you would cause her to know you, cause her to have a heart that follows after you, cause her to let the scriptures come alive to her, help her. And if she has a frustrating thing today, help her to see the curse is actually a blessing, God. So I pray for my wife during that prayer time, and you should too. We should pray for each other in our marriages. So number one, God, give up. And by the way, that word us. Can I get an amen out there? Give us our daily bread. I pray for spiritual needs. And our greatest needs is what? Spiritual. Then I start praying for my material needs. Now, Lord, I do have a light bill that's coming due. And, Lord, I have been cut back on hours. Now, I'm not saying this is literally. I'm just using it figuratively. Because if anything, they've given me more hours than... Praise God, the light bill is current. Current. Isn't that a good way of saying it? My light bill is current. Ha, ha, ha. All right. I've been hanging around a 15-year-old Haley too much, telling these little one-liners. But please understand that now, after I've asked him for spiritual things, he delights in us asking for material things. I prayed, God, we need a house, not a rental property, not a parsonage. We, at 50 years of age, I need a house that I can buy and pay off for our future. I need roots. I need a place that is in our name. Now, I know that in certain countries, people never have houses, but we don't live in certain countries. We live in America, amen? And we're part of this economy. And having a home ownership empowers you. Now, it doesn't mean I've got to have a home to be saved. Doesn't mean that if you don't own a home that you're not saved. There are certain people that do rent for the duration of their lives, and there's a blessing in that path if you choose that path. That's the key, if you choose it. My choice and my feeling was, was to have a home. That one day I'm going to have a title. One day I'm going to have it paid off. Now I might be 82 years old, but I'm going to have that thing paid off. Praise God. Amen. But, it's going to come, you know, should the Lord tarry. But, amen. God accelerate it. Go ahead, Pastor. Lay it on. Amen. Praise God. But, I say, Lord, you know, I need a house. It's not a want. We all need a house. We need a place of our own. And God has provided us the house. I remember one day I was praying and the Lord said, as I have provided this place for you, talking about Lamb Road, he said, I've provided the next place. I remember he said that about 2 years ago and God provided. So if you have a material need, Lord, I've got a doctor's appointment coming up and I need a good result. Father, thank you for that good result. Amen. God is concerned about your x-rays, your MRIs. He's concerned about, your medication. He's concerned about your annual physical. He's concerned about your body. My friend Steve Reynolds from, Washington DC or outside of Washington DC has written a book called Bod for God. He's on Fox News. He's America's, pastor that has declared war on fat. And I'm planning to start one of those Bod for God classes here as the pastor allows. And certainly don't want to say it without his knowledge. And if he doesn't desire to do it, that's fine. But it would be nice to have some kind of weight loss help for people because we are trifold, body, soul, and spirit. And so, but God is, and he points out how many times in the Bible it speaks of your physical body. You know, and so it's good to pray. Lord, touch me. I've got a headache. I got a migraine. Lord, I'm praying, God, for my material needs. Can you say amen? Self, family. Lord, I pray for my family. They're dealing with some stuff. Then, point three, I begin to segue into praying for others. Now, really, praying for others is under the give us this day our daily bread. But I put it as a separate point because I also make it a point in my daily prayer time to pray for others. You know why? Because if I'm not careful, all I'll do is pray about me. Now, you might not be that way. I know how I am. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. And before you know it, I've spent all my time praying for me. But I'm not going to be but I purposely pray for Philip and Edna Pearson. I purposely pray for Pastor Jerry and First Lady Teresa. And that's exactly how I pray for them. I pray, say, Pastor Jerry and First Lady Teresa. Now, I know they are Jerry and Teresa Nelson. I understand that. They're humans and they're servants of the Lord. But they are the pastors of this church. And she is the first lady of this church. And I pray for her because the devil attacks pastors and first ladies. And I'm going to say this, and I said it before, and Pastor, I hope you're okay with it. If it is, I'll be glad to, you can tell me differently. You know, I'll honor that. But our pastor comes across strong, and he does that. It's not putting on. It's genuine. But I think sometimes we can see Pastor Jerry and First Lady Teresa and think they never have issues or problems or whatever. And I can tell you, they might not say it. But they are human beings and there's a real devil out there. And they you need to understand, Westmoreland, we could see Pastor Jerry as super strong and dancing and all of that. They need your prayers. Is that okay, Pastor? All right. Amen. We are all flesh is flesh, no matter whose bones it's on. Amen. And so pray for others. I pray. And how do you pray for others? I could spend a whole sermon on interceding for others. There's the prayer list. Just go right down the prayer list. We put it in the bulletin every week. But don't just keep your prayers praying about you. Pray for others. And that's where you pray for leaders, pray for presidents, governors, pray for Skylar and Julie. You know, those prayers have brought them to this point. Amen. Pray for loved ones to be saved. Please pray for your loved ones to be saved. Pray for others. Genesis 18 and 22 says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham stood before God to pray for his nephew Lot. By the way, pray for your extended family. Pray for your nieces and nephews, your cousins, those that don't know the Lord, those that are sick. Pray. And I like what Pastor Jerry does and others, and I've been doing this more. Somebody on the job says, I have it. Pray right there and right then. Pray for other people in your prayer time. Can you say amen? And then number four, in my prayers, I call this preparing for battle. Because then, now look at this. We started out, this is my time in prayer. This is how I pray. First of all, I focus on God. And then I thank Him. And then I ask God for things, spiritual and material. Then I pray for others. Then I get ready for battle. Because this is where, look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12 comes in. Now, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And this is when I begin to ask the Lord to forgive me if there is a sin that I have committed that I know that I've committed. Now, this is where I'm going to take you out of my prayer closet right now. Because you say, well, Brother Ricky, certainly, you know, you're such a man of God. You know, flesh is flesh, no matter whose bones is on. Amen. And nobody has halos yet. And please don't go to your prayer time and say, well, God, I am holy and pure. And those sinners out there, they need your mercy. That's exactly right. You need to come before God and pray the prayer. And if you're not conscious of a sin, that's good. And listen, one of the things that keeps me from sinning is knowing I'm going to talk to God. How can I give somebody a piece of my mind in anger when I know later that night I'm going to be saying, oh, God, I love you. I love you. And how can I love God who I don't see and don't love those who I do see? So forgive us our debts. Now, you just, whatever it is, and just pray this prayer. If you can't think of anything, say, Lord, I know that without your grace, I would be given over to sins, either sins of omission or commission. And that's a whole nother sermon. Sins of omission, sins of commission. There are things that we shouldn't do, and then there's things that we've done that we didn't do. And just say, Lord, show me. If there's anything wrong, I want to make it right with you. And then there's people struggling. There are people that struggle with alcohol, drugs, lust, pornography, all these things. Most of us in here, 99% of us, we're graduated beyond some of that. But we do have some younger converts in here. And I need them to know that when they begin to pray, they don't need to say, oh, God, forgive me because I did this wrong or that wrong. You don't need to start out praying that way. You need to do all the others first and then ask God to forgive you. And guess what? He will forgive you. Amen? Aren't you glad that He forgives us when we fall His children? Forgive us our debts. As what we forgive our debtors. Now, that's another part to it. You've got to forgive those who've hurt you. How can you say, God, forgive me, and yet hold on to what somebody's done to you 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 25 years ago or last week or last month? So this prayer helps us to stay clean with others and stay clean with God. That's a prayer of confession. And also go to the next scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Read that with me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So I've prayed my personal confession, forgive me. And then there's my personal consecration, be with me as I go out into this world. You and I are not in heaven yet. We are going to be tempted. And we're asking God to help us not have temptation or lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And actually that word evil in the original means deliver us from the evil one, Satan himself. Satan has desired to have you. And if he can't get you backslidden, he can get you complacent. There's many of Christians, they're not on their way to hell. They're on their way to heaven, but they're not doing much for God on the way. And Satan's just fine with that. We talk about rhinos, Republicans in name only. Well, we got a lot of Christianos, you know, Christian in name only. They're not doing anything. Come on, right? Oh, God help us. deliver us from evil, be it prepared for battle. God, give me the whole armor of God. That's another thing. Have the whole armor. Lord, I pray for the helmet of salvation, my thought life. I pray for the blessed prayer of righteousness, Lord, that I may know my righteousness in you, and I can take the arrows of the devil. Lord, the loins girt about with truth, the belt of truth. Lord, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel means I'm going places. Turn around to somebody. You're going places. Amen. Hallelujah. Westmoreland Church is going places. Amen. And then, how do I pray? My time is focused upon God, ask God, praying for others, preparing for battle. And then number five, I focus on God again. Because look at Matthew 6 and 13 again. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. And I pray that. Let me say one more thing. Every morning when I have my contact prayer, I say, Lord, protect me from being tempted today. Now, men, you especially need, we all need to pray that, men, because we know that during the course of the day, we may be tempted with people come into Best Buy dressed all kinds of ways. And I have to pray this prayer, Lord, please keep my mind pure, because I am a man of God, and I want to be a man of integrity. And help my eyes not rove all around. Help my eyes to stay upon you. I remember when I was at East Carolina University, my dorm was on the top of College Hill. And between the bottom of the hill to the top were all the sunbathers. And I had to pray, Lord, deliver me from temptation. I had to keep my eyes straight because I'm telling you, they were out there playing volleyball. They were it was terrible, folks. I graduated from East Carolina with a degree in victory, praise God. And then I moved to a different dorm and they started laying out. I mean, and I was on the second floor. I felt like David looking at Bathsheba. And I remember I kept my blinds closed and I dare not open those blinds. People would come in my dorm room and say, it's so dark in here. I'm not opening those blinds. You know what's on the other side of that temptation? We gotta pray. Lead me not into temptation. And you're working on your job and there's a coworker that's mighty pretty and she's having marriage problems. You better pray. Lord, lead me not into temptation. I'm as serious as I can be. Amen. Then after I've prayed that, I focus on God again. I started out what? Focusing on God. And look at how the prayer ends. For thine is the kingdom. Let's go back to that, Sister Darnell. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So when I finish my prayer, I'm going right back to what? Praise and thanking you and praising you and blessing you. By the way, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. It's not in the original Bible, not in the Greek. The English translators added it. But you know what? Nothing wrong with that. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And you should end your prayer just like that. And finally, the final thing I do in my prayer time is after I've prayed all of that, after I've focused on God, after I've asked him, after I've prayed for others, after I've prepared for battle, after I've focused on God again, the last thing I do, point six, the last thing I do, and I put all this together, is I listen, meditate, and wait upon the Lord quietly. And I may read a devotional or read a psalm. Listening. Somebody say listening. You know, you've done all that talking. Let God talk back to you. Come on now. Psalm 85 and verse 8 says, I will hear what the Lord God will speak. Folks, he wants to talk to you. And you need to listen to him. And you can't listen to him while you're doing all the talking. That's a part of the prayer. Listen to him. Meditate. Psalm 46 and 10 says, be still and know that I'm God. Just be still. You know what? It's the hardest thing for we Americans just to be still. Particularly with cell phones, devices, and this, that, and the other. I told my wife a couple months ago, I said, when I was going to work on Saturday, I said, I want you to do something for me. Yes, honey, what is it? I want you to sit still for 30 minutes. You'd think that's Joshua making the sun stand still. Come on now. Getting her to sit still for 30 minutes. I love you, baby. I know I'm going to get it after church tonight. But I know you're going to let me have it. But why? Because I want her to sit still, not fiddle around, not try to take care of something, grade this, do that. There's times we're Pentecostals, if we have one weakness, is we equate noise That there's all there is to it. If it's not noisy, then God's not in it. No, sir. Be still and know that he is God. The Bible says of Elijah, there was a earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. There was a fire, but God was not in the fire. And after the earthquake and after the fire came a still, small voice. And he was in the stillness. Can you say amen? After you've prayed, Psalm 104, my meditation of him shall be sweet. Psalm 104. Somebody say meditation. We think of these Indian gurus going, No, there's more to meditation than that. My meditation. We need to meditate upon God. And then finally, 2 Timothy, and I'm done. 2 Timothy 4:13. This is Paul saying. Paul said, the cloak that I left with Troas, with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee the books and especially the parchments. This is where reading comes in. Yes, we read the Bible. The parchments was the Bible, but Paul also had other books, devotions, my utmost for his highest, streams in the desert. When this is my personal prayer time with God, I just gave you. You can go back to the six, Sister Darnell, and I'm going to close. You go back to the six. When Ricky Nelms prays, I go right down this list here. I take about 30 minutes. I don't have to take 2 hours to do this. And if I'm really busy, I'll do it in 15 minutes. And sometimes when I've got more time and I need more, I'll take this and do for an hour. But you need some time with God. More than just praying here, there, and yonder. I do that too. But we need time with the Most High God. As you stand tonight, I want to close with reading again the Lord's Prayer. But I'm going to read it from the Message paraphrase. The Message paraphrase was written about 20 years ago by Eugene Peterson. It's not an accurate translation, but it's a paraphrase. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13, here's how it says, and I want you, you don't have to put it on King James, but I want you to hear this in the Message. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply, like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. I love that. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Give us this day our daily bread. I like that. I need 3 square meals. I don't know about y'all out there. And a couple of snacks in between. Verse 12. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. I love that. You're in charge. And here's the, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Here's how he paraphrases. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze with beauty. Yes, yes, yes. Can we say that tonight? Yes, yes, yes. Can we lift our hands and say yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what it's all about. Spending time with the God who spent time to make you and love you. Give him a hand of praise. Yes, yes, yes.
Time of focus. You know, in that one word, focus, martial art experts, they can take a 6-inch punch and break a board. And they do that because they are so focused on breaking it. In the Marine Corps, they taught us focus when you're shooting your weapon. That you're focused, sight alignment, sight picture, breath control, windage, elevation, squeeze the trigger till the hammer falls without the shooter's knowledge. Total focus. And I learned those things in the military. But the verse that really struck me as a young Christian is Colossians 1, 2, and 3. If you then be risen with Christ, set focus your affection upon things above and not upon the things of this earth. When Christ, which is our life, shall appear, then, I'm focused, shall we appear with him in glory. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Our Father, which art in heaven, we hallow and praise your name. Lord, thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Help us to stay focused on Jesus, focused on the word. Focused on our eternal destination. Focused on the harvest, Lord. That everything we do in word or deed, we will be focused on your kingdom coming and your will being done in our lives. Bless us as we go our individual ways, and we thank you, Lord, that you're taking us to another level. Thank you, Lord, for teaching, preaching, singing, worship, Lord, for every minister in this church. Thank you, Lord, that we're focused. Help us to be more focused. The church said in Jesus' name, amen. And look at three people and tell them you're blessed and highly favored of God. Thank you, Pastor Ricky. Glory to God.